Today great. Today is such a great day. Everything is so great.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We got some wonderful people for you.
All you mommies and daddies out there who complain to the radio station, I got something to say to you.
And the first thing you've got to do is say the call letters properly. Okay?
It's an incredible metamorphosis of love and emotion and sensitivity and tenderness and fun and joy and happiness.
Did you know that this show represents health and hope?
Weekend to fall back for an extra hour of sleep or campaigning at the Gate Baby. Welcome aboard the Amy Beth Earthquake Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? I know, it's crunch time, and I'll talk to you about my adventures in the trenches of campaigning. We'll have some great music to decompress or rev up our engines, depending upon where you're sitting these days. And we'll meet a rising singer-songwriter and mental health advocate, J.J. McGuigan, who will talk to us about his adventures in the music biz, and we'll sample his great sound. Inspiration to action, challenge success stories, and we'll get you in the mix. Are you listening live? This Friday, November 4th, 9 a.m. out west, 11 central, noon here in the east, number in motion 347-857-4505. Social media busting at the seams. There's a 24/7 deal on Twitter, as you know, at AB Writes. Pretty crazy over at the Facebook page, too, so make your comments at Amy Beth Arquy, that page. And we're ready for you. The show today being brought to you in part by Audiophile, from music to books to podcasts. Caress your ears with everything you want to hear from Audiophile. Also by Old Navy, fall in for great fashions and savings this season at Old Navy. And by PopNet, arts, culture, conversation on air, online, 24/7. PopNet features select editions of the Amy Beth Arquy Show and select appearances. Happy to tag along with all these post-debate rides and this Tuesday, an Election Day roundtable. Get ready, be on the listen on your local outlet. But first, let's start this exciting show with J.J. McGuigan, a rising singer-songwriter. We'll talk about his aspirations and inspirations and navigating the music biz in a couple of minutes. First, let's sample his sound. His debut collection is out, called Disassociative, and the song here is called Letter. J.J. McGuigan opening up another eclectic edition of the Amy Beth Arquy Show. Give a listen.
Could you treat me like a brother? can be one in the same. It isn't easy to admit this about me, and I only hope that you'll listen. Say a prayer. We'll climb every mountain, cross every sea. Maybe I can show you there's something special about me. To come my way, would you read the world's letter? It's all the things I failed to say. I want to read the world's letter for tonight. I just want you to stay. Gonna read the world my letter, and I'll be on my way.
The quietly powerful sound of J.J. McGuigan on the Amy Beth Arkwee Show and Letter. So delighted to welcome J.J. to the show. J.J., thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on the new album and the great music.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Pleasure to have you here. Let's talk about your journey. I know you're a singer-songwriter in the real tradition of that movement, and you have some very powerful personal lyrics. You've gone through your own travails. I know you are open about talking about how you suffered as a young teenager and young man with depression, and you've become a mental health advocate. Talk about how that works into your music. And did you start, you know, which came first? Did you start writing as a therapeutic tool, or is it just, you know, that's what you do, and you happen to have your personal experiences come through there?
It's kind of a mix of both. I had always done music and written lyrics. I just started playing drums at 13. And then when I came down with depression and OCD, I just found writing to be a huge outlet for me. And it just slowly progressed more into like a poetry, and then picked up guitar and then just started writing songs and really felt that I could connect with myself and other people through it. And it really got me through everything that I've been through as far as the mental health goes and everything. So it's been a very powerful tool for me. Just been a journey, so yeah.
You can tell for the work, and I think that's so great, because what helps you also, as you know now, is helping other people through your work, which is such a great thing. It doesn't always happen that way, but it has happened for you, and it's such a great way to do it. What comes first for you? Do you have, as you said, you start off with lyrics, I guess, because the lyrics are very powerful in your work. Do you start off as like a poet and then you add the music, or do they come together at the same time, or how does that work for you in the process?
It's usually, sometimes it's a mix of both, actually. I'll just have a guitar and just start strumming, and if I can pick up on an emotion through that, I'll just start writing about it. And then sometimes I just sit down with a pen and pad and just try and hammer out how I'm feeling without any music or anything, and it works that way. So it's kind of a mix of both. I try not to have a set process and just kind of let it be spontaneous as much as I can. And so I think that's what's worked for me so far. So
you kind of wait for the muses to show up. Is that?
yeah. It's kind of. You know, sometimes I'll sit down and force myself to get into a inspired state, and sometimes it just hits me, you know. So it's just kind of one of those deals where you just try and be ready when the time comes to write something.
I think that's so interesting that you said that, because I'm always telling people I'm also a writer and I'm also a creativity coach, counselor, work with people sometimes who have creative blocks, et cetera. And, you know, people are always intrigued by, and we have guests on the show who are creative. I always want to know their process because people are fascinated with how it all comes together and how people do what we do. And I think it's important to be always ready for the muses to come whenever they may come. But I also think, like you said, sometimes I force myself to sit down with a pad and paper and try, and that's what I have to do too, because you're not always inspired. There are times in your life when you're not going to be as inspired as others, where you kind of are in a creative ditch, but you still have to try to work. And I think that's what I try to do for myself and what I try to tell other people. You have to try to force yourself, and sometimes you'll have an empty day. You have the pad there, and frankly, I'm writing drivel, or I'm just, you know, writing whatever. And but you never know. Something inspiring may come out of it. There may be a character or an image or whatever it might be, or for you a line or something or a theme.
Yeah.
So you don't know. So I think that's important that you, like you said, you do sometimes force yourself if you're not really feeling it to just say, hey, I got to do it. I mean, do you have a set schedule where you say, I'm going to try to write every day for a couple of hours, or how does that work for you?
Yeah, it works. It's usually about an hour that I'll just set aside. If I can do more, I'll do more. But I try and do at least an hour of just getting myself into a creative state, either just by starting a journal or, and, you know, put pen to paper and see what flows from that. Or it's just, you know, anything I can do in that hour of time to at least get the essence of something that could be a song or could be something creative. Just try and capture that as much as I can and then build upon it, basically.
And see where it goes. Yeah, that's a great idea. I think that's a great foundation for people to say, hey, just give yourself that hour. And if, like you said, if there's more there that leads to more, then you'll take it. But if there's not and it doesn't work for you, I mean, what happens to you if you're writing and say nothing really great comes, like I just described earlier, and you're just writing drivel? Do you feel bad, or you just say, hey, this was a dry day. I just didn't have it today, but I'll go back to it tomorrow.
I've gotten to the point where I can just kind of say, you know, hey, it's a dry day, you know, and we'll get back to it tomorrow, or maybe something will hit me later on in the day.
Yeah.
At first, it was frustrating because I thought, you know, every time I sit down to write, I want to write something that I think is good and that's, you know, can produce something. But sometimes that just doesn't happen. So you just got to kind of flow with it.
You got to be patient, get into the rhythm, and be open to the fact that it's going to come. But you got to give yourself a chance. I think that's so great. I appreciate you sharing that, because a lot of people just think it happens, like it's, you know, alchemy. And there is that part of it. I always say, that's the reward you get for putting in the hard time and those dry days when something comes together and it seems like it's effortless. And, oh, my God, where did this come from? Because sometimes I don't know where something comes from. But I think, you know, putting in that effort really does pay off in the end, because it's rare for somebody who's never really put in any kind of time with it to just suddenly have an instant perfect thing that come out of them. I mean, it just doesn't really work that way. So I think there's some hard work involved, some discipline that people have to apply, and I'm so happy that you're sharing that. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, there definitely is. It's not one of those things that you sit down to write and an hour later you should expect something great. Just write what comes, write what, you know, is in you, and it'll manifest itself in a sense by itself. And you just try not to, I just look at it as try not to get in the way too much. So.
Very wise, very wise words. Talk to us a little bit about your influences as a writer. I mean, I know the therapeutic end of it, how you got into it, but clearly there are people, other musicians, artists that you listen to as a kid and that you're listening to now. Who's influenced you along the way?
When I was 14, I listened to a band a lot called Live. They're real big in the 90s. I got into them. That's what got me into kind of the rock feel things and everything. And then obviously Creed came along, Stained, Cold, a lot of those kind of bands that really expressed themselves emotionally, and it wasn't just about a sound. It was about, you know, what was going on and being totally honest with it and everything. And that really inspired me as I started to write and go through what I went through with depression and everything. And it just kind of, it was one of those deals that I just, you know, listening to them really saved me in a lot of ways. And I just want to be able to do that for someone else, you know, through what I create and everything.
That's such a profound thing, but, you know, it's so true. Music is such a healing of all the arts, I think. You know, music is the one that really can cut through so much and is the universal language
yeah.
that people can really grab onto it. And if you have that talent to connect with people, I think that's such a great thing and a great gift to go for it. What made you decide, at what point did you say, hey, you know, this is not just therapy for me. This is something that I want to do to connect with other people, and I also mm-hmm. want to make this a career. I mean, that was a couple of jumps there, but what
yeah.
made you take those jumps?
Really, when I... about 22, 23 was when I just felt it in me that this is something that, you know, not only I want to do, but I feel like I have to do. And it's just, call it a calling, if you will. But it just feels right every time I do it. And, you know, when I graduated college and everything, nothing else felt right. You know, I tried a lot of different things and nothing really stuck. And so it was just one of those things that it just kind of, at the right time, it came along and gave me the direction I needed. And I knew that, you know, I know something will come of it and everything, and something is coming of it. And so it's just one of those things that it just kind of, about that age, 22, 23, was when it hit me that this is something I'm going to be doing the rest of my life, to try and reach people and make a career out of it.
Great. And you just realize that you kept coming back to it. It's funny because you do try trial and error. We try different things in life, and the way life
yeah.
is now, and people living longer and working a lot longer. A lot of people have multiple careers and they make career changes and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But and I work with people, and that part of my career is helping people in those changes. But when you know
mm-hmm.
what's right for you, it's hard to deny it. You know, even if it's tough,
yeah.
people tell you, and I'm sure you've heard people say, "Oh, this is a tough business." It's all
right.
that kind of. If you feel like you have to do it, if you're compelled to do it, anything in the arts, because it is tough, and it's a tough
mm-hmm.
way to make a living, it's all of those things.
Yeah.
But if you feel it's a calling for you, and it's something that you keep coming back to, you just got to do it. You know, you can't really, it can't be denied. So
yeah,
if you
totally.
Can, they always say, if you can find something else to do, do it, you know, if it's anything to do with the arts. But if you really can't see yourself doing anything else, then you know it's for you, and you have to go
right.
for it. Tell us about your journey in terms of carving it out. I mean, what are you doing? How did you go about it? Because now... The music business is so fractured in a way. I mean, there's a lot more opportunities for people to plunge in, so to speak, in all the arts, frankly,
mm-hmm.
with the internet and everybody. But it's also harder to navigate sometimes as an artist individually to make a name for yourself and to actually make a living at it. So how did you decide, and how are you doing that in terms of the navigation?
Really, just kind of has come through a lot of trial and error, just being...
Yeah.
you know, willing to make mistakes, willing to take a chance and have it not work. And I think it comes down to that word, just having a willingness to try and not be dead set on, okay, it has to happen this exact way because this is how I picture it in my head. You just got to be willing to be flexible. You know, use social media to your advantage and everything. The only mistake I see a lot of people making is they're putting so much time into their promotion that the product sometimes suffers from it because it's rushed, not because they're not talented or anything, but they rush it, or they maybe they oversell it, I guess, or they, it just doesn't feel as organic, sometimes it feels like they're just trying to make it big to make it big. As opposed to, having
authentic
it be organic,
now.
So to speak, yeah. And so, it just comes through trial and error and a willingness and flexibility to see what works and go with what works and what doesn't work, if it's rejection or just no feedback at all, just keep going. So you just got to persevere through that, basically.
Well, it's hard. I think you're so right. And
totally,
I really appreciate
yeah.
what you said about the organic and the authentic sound, because I think you're obviously creating music for the right reasons. It's obviously something you want to do. It speaks to you. It's a passion. But there are people, in all fields in the arts who, as you said, they want to make it to make it, and they just want to put out a product
mm-hmm.
as fast as they can. And
right.
I always am astounded, and the same thing with fiction writers or any other kind of writers, I always say, what's the rush? I mean, you want to make it as good as it can be. Obviously, everybody
right.
wants to connect. Everybody wants to get into the into the field and make a name for themselves, and if you can make a profit, hey, more the better. But you want it to be as good as it can be, too, and be true to the artistry of it. And I think there's a lot of people who are just slapdash. Let's just get it out there. So I appreciate that you want to take your time with it and make it right and do it right. But talk about the, you know, and as I said before, the advent of social media and the internet has equalized the playing field in a lot of ways, so people can all get out there and, you know, in other words, like show their wares in this great, you know, virtual marketplace that we have. But it is kind of hard because it's so glutted to stand out. So what do you do in terms of finding a niche for yourself and saying, hey, you know, I'm over here and I think you're going to like what you hear if you give it a shot? I mean, what do you do? How do you work it? Do you have promotions? What are the kind of things you've tried that have worked for you?
I'll do promotions. Like, I'll try and find out where a lot of people are responding to my songs. So there's Google has analytics. I know, like, my website, Bandzoogle, is the company that hosts the website, JJMcWigginMusic.com. And they have analytics as well. I would utilize that as much as possible to try and see where exactly you're getting feedback from. And so then when it comes time to release an EP or whatnot, you have an idea of where to hit and everything. I think it is a very saturated field and whatnot. And so a lot of people sometimes, they get over bombarded by, you know, the independent artist. And so you want to make sure that I think the best tool you can use is just being authentic. And then from that, I would try and just find out, you know, who is responding to it and where are they from. You know, in my case, you know, the UK has been big for me,
really?
Especially the teenage young adult crowd. It's been a pretty good market for me, you know, and everything. And it's just a matter of utilizing every tool that's out there and seeing what works, basically. So.
It's good that you're savvy about it, and you're also realistic about it, and you're pacing yourself because you have this larger calling. You're in it for the long haul, I can tell, right? I mean, you want to do
definitely.
This.
Definitely,
yeah. You know, you're planting the right seeds, and you're connecting, and you're, you know, going on radio shows. Are you touring a lot? Are you going on? Do you have a lot of gigs that you're doing, or how does that work for you?
I haven't done a lot of touring yet. Well, I'm trying to put together another EP. I've got 3 songs fully written on it. And working together with a guitarist, a friend of mine, Brian Elwick, on it. And we're just basically getting right from scratch the next 2 songs is what we're working on. And then once we get about 10 songs, we're going to get a full band together and go touring and everything and all that and just try and get the music out there that way as well. Here in Wichita, it's hard to get gigs for original music. 9 out of 10
cover.
Places want you to play cover songs, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just not something I'm particularly, you know,
want to do
basically. And so it'll probably be, you know, maybe a few shows here in Wichita, but trying to expand a little bit out throughout the Midwest and whatnot. As well, because there's some acts that I'm friends with here in town that do that exact same thing. They don't play a lot of shows here locally, but they'll go, you know, up and down, you know, the Midwest and whatnot, or if they can go to the either coast, they can do that as well. So that's kind of the path.
Maybe,
you'll have to
do a tour of the UK, maybe, because you're popular in England.
Yeah,
you have to get over the other side of the pond. Do you have a wish list of people, performers, or other songwriters, artists that you'd like to collaborate with at some point? Would you like to connect with, you know, anybody you'd like to connect with, if you could?
Yeah, the two that really come to mind as of late would be Scooter Ward of Cold and Ben Burnley of Breaking Benjamin. You know, those are pretty two big names and everything, but it just their music just hits me in a way that it's like I would just love to sit down with them and just be a part of their process and share ideas and everything, and that would be a dream come true right there.
Let's try to connect, you know, because the other good part about the world that we live in now is, you know, it used to be 6 degrees of separation between people. Now it's like, you know, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
You probably connect with one
right.
of both those guys via somebody in the internet
yeah.
and out there. So,
yeah,
so definitely. Try to do that. That would be great. I really
yeah.
love your honesty and just your authenticity, that authentic voice you have that comes up in your music as well as just talking to you. You're just an honest person, and you're in it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
So I really hope you keep at it and you get – you get some good success along
yeah.
the way, because every little success for you, however small it may seem, it'll be a boost and will keep keeping you moving and keep you going in the right,
right.
direction. Because take it in and enjoy it along the way. You know, celebrate each thing. I know
yeah.
a lot of people get busy. We all do that, or we have big dreams. Like you always say, it's not exactly how you imagined it in your head. It's never going to be that way. Let's face it. But
right.
we all think, oh, it'll be great when, and then you fill in the blank for what the when is. You know, when you get your book
right.
published. Your CD on the when you get your song on the radio when you get
yeah.
whatever, and then it's always a bit of a letdown because it's like, hey, that wasn't that big of a deal, but it was. The whole thing
mm-hmm.
is a big deal.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Celebrate each little thing, each song
Definitely.
You write, each time you get a song played on the radio, each time you get an interview, each time you get a gig. Each of those things, I think, are to be celebrated and enjoyed along the way, because it's all steps in your journey, and I think that's so important for you to do it as you're going. Because, you know, as you
Definitely.
Know, there might be some bumps along the way, too, and some rejection or some things that are disappointing. But you're on the right track because you have the right reasons for doing it, and you have that talent and that voice. And I just hope you appreciate that as you go, and I hope you keep
Definitely.
Going and you keep us
Definitely.
Informed of what you're up to. We have one more song to play. This one's called Save My Life. Give me a setup for this one.
This one was really just about anyone struggling with anything from self-doubt to, you know, on any level, whether it be about something going on in life or just about life in general. And it's just kind of a crying out for help, basically, you know, and something that we all do to a certain extent, you know. And if it's struggling with a mental illness or an addiction or anything like that, I think it's a song that can speak to people with that. And it's just about a yearning for help, basically.
Reaching out.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
Great album. It's called Dissociative. You can find information. And you have an interesting thing about, we should mention, pay what you want to pay for the songs. Is that a deal that you have? Where people
Correct.
Can,
yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool idea. Who came up with it? I've seen a few people try that. Tell me the impetus behind that.
It was just basically if people want to get it into their hands, they can for at any price that they want. I just want to kind of get the song out there,
right.
the albums and everything, and it allows people, if they want to make, you know, more of a donation type of deal, they can do that, or if they want it for 1 cent, you know, they can do that as well. It's just kind of a good deal to get the music out there. And so I think where I'm at as far as the journey goes is that's more important than trying to make a profit, so to speak, you know.
I appreciate that in a way. On the other hand, I don't want you to undervalue your stuff. I think, you know, giving it away,
right.
it's good to give away a little, but you don't want to undervalue it. So I hope people will listen to a couple that are free, listen to the songs we're playing, and say, hey, I like that guy. I like his attitude. I like his spirit, and I want to help him a little bit more because it's worth it, and maybe they'll pay you a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I hope people do that and show some respect for the artist. I don't want you to undervalue yourself, but I know where you're coming
definitely.
From, and I do appreciate
yeah.
it. J.J. McGuigan, really a pleasure meeting with you. As I said, I'm really impressed with your backstory and your music and your goals and motives for doing it. They're so pure. They're so authentic. I think people should give you a good listen, and I wish you all the best. I hope you keep us posted and you come back and see us again. Will you do that, J.J.?
Definitely.
Thank you so much.
Definitely will. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. It's J.J. McGuigan. The song is Save My Life. Details, by the way, we'll post it as we always do. I don't have the exact website. It's jjmcguiganmusic.com. We will post it for everybody when we have the show available on podcast as well. Thank you, JJ.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
This is the Amy Berkowitz Show. Twitter, Amy Wright. kinds of powerful music from J.J. McGuigan, Save My Life. On the Amy Beth Arkwright Show, his debut collection, Dissociative, is available at jjmcguiganmusic.com. I said that we will post the link along with the podcast when it becomes available later today. Check it out, a young man with an intriguing sound and pure motives for sure. Twitter feed at BuzzBallReady at AB Writes. We love it that way. Phone line is also open, by the way, if you're listening live on Friday, November 4th, 347-857-4505. On the Twitter feed, Katie says, hey, you have a great way with the artist, so kind. His music sounds intriguing. I'll check it out. Thank you, Katie. Val says, you're doing a brother a solid. I'll buy a couple of songs. He sounds worth it. Indeed. And Phelps says, another great interview, good rapport, good show. Thank you so much, Phelps. Thank you. Really do appreciate his sound. And he's got a pure motivation there. He wants to connect with people in such a way that I think has deep meaning. And I love artists who have that deep meaning and that deep goal. So I'm always happy to support folks who are working hard. And it's a tough road to hoe these days because it's competitive and it's glutted with people. Everybody wants to get in on the act, and everybody should. I love the creative age. We all have a chance. But I know from my own experiences, sometimes it's hard to stand out in the pack because there's so many folks doing it. So he's working hard to get his name out there and his music out there for all the right reasons. I do appreciate it. And music really does cut through all the garbage, doesn't it? I mean, it really, and we need it now. We'll talk a little bit later about my work in the trenches campaigning for Hillary Clinton to get out the vote. And there's some, I don't know, I'm a little skittish with some of the battleground enthusiasm in the battleground states. It's not where it should be or where we need it to be to really go full steam ahead. We'll talk more about that later. But back to music here for a couple of moments. They have the CMA's 50th Annual Country Music Awards the other night, and they always do this what I call cross genre-busting, cross-generational performances. And this year it was Beyonce with the Dixie Chicks, and they brought down the house. They got some blowback on social media. I don't know why. I don't care. I don't have time for it. Music, as I said, cuts through all the stuff, and it's so great. So give a listen. Here it is. Live just the other night, I think it was Wednesday night, Dixie Chicks, Beyonce doing Daddy's Lessons live from the 50th annual CMAs right here on the Amy Beth Arkwright Show.
Yeah.
dancing with the Dixie Chicks, captured live last Wednesday at the 50th annual CMA. Sandy Plus. Let me even go to Berkeley Show. Come on, that made you feel better. It didn't matter what side of the aisle, politically speaking, you're at, right? They kick those boxes away from their music bins, and on we go. And that's what it's all about. Boy, oh boy, music really does help, I think. But I'll tell you, working in the trenches, working the phones for the Hillary Clinton campaign in battleground states this week, it's a mixed result here. Because there are some people who are very enthusiastic, some early voting in North Carolina and Ohio and Georgia, and people who are definitely all in for Hillary. But there are some ambivalence. There are a lot of people I spoke with who cannot stand Donald Trump, do not understand how Donald Trump got as far as he got, but still can't pull the lever for Hillary. And I get it, I guess, because there's so much baked-in skepticism about her and so-called scandals, much of which there's no there. It comes from being harangued for 25, 30 years and being in the public eye. And, yes, she has her flaws, for sure. I mean, is she a little too secretive? Yeah, and part of that paranoia and privacy, need for that privacy is borne out by all this kind of stuff that she's had to go through all these years. So she's not perfect, and she's made mistakes. The thing is, she cops to those mistakes, whereas Donald Trump, who is a walking mistake for this country, never cops to anything. And I look at their records side by side. This is what I try to impress upon voters. With one person, you're certainly going to get the Obama agenda forwarded. With the other, it will try to be dismantled and upended. And a man who does not have the right temperament is too dangerous, too quick to act, reckless, etc. His wife, God bless her, Melania, gave a speech yesterday. She's going to make, get this, I can't make this stuff up, cyberbullying, a crusade against cyberbullying her cause should she become first lady, because the culture has gotten too coarse. Do you look at your husband and know who's doing this? I don't think they understand the inherent irony. All I can tell you is I try to come up with a script about this. People will tell me, you're nuts. Nobody would believe this. It had to be so farcical, so ridiculously out there in satire land for anybody to even consider it, because it's so crazy what goes on in these campaigns. And I know the so-called bombshell that was dropped last Friday from the FBI director that there may be some emails that were on that are on Anthony Weiner's laptop. Anthony Weiner, the disgraced former congressman who has checked himself into some kind of an internet cyber obsessive addictive rehab place again because of his disgusting perverted tweets. Of course, it is also ironic that Donald Trump refers to Anthony Weiner as a pervert, and he may well be with all the disgusting stuff he does on Twitter, but he hasn't really done anything in public with anybody, whereas Donald Trump admits to the fact that he gropes people and he's got all these accusers lining up. And he talks about Hillary's under investigation and a criminal investigation, et cetera. Well, there's an FBI investigation. No criminal charges have been filed. There have been unfounded to be anything, so said the FBI director back in July. And there's no reason to believe that these emails, which nobody knows what the content may be of, and they may even be duplicates of emails they already have, may indicate. We do know for sure that Donald Trump has several fraud trials regarding Trump University set to begin right after the election. We know he's got a federal lawsuit pending in December, I believe, for a child rape case some years back. Again, these are all, I know they're all, his defenders will say, well, they're all civil suits, but there are many of them, and he has avoided a criminal indictment a waiver thin time multiple times, as many times at least as his bankruptcies, which went from 4 to 6. He has not released his tax returns, and yet if you look at polls, he has an 8-point lead over Hillary Clinton in the category of trustworthiness and honesty. Unbelievable, considering he lies 78% to 82% of the time, according to PolitiFact, where she lies 28% to 33% of the time. I don't get it. I guess if you hammer things home enough, people will buy it, and people are buying sound bites. What I say to people, do your homework, do your due diligence, research these things. Research the past, which is prologue for both of these people in terms of their histories and their careers, and their policies. Donald Trump has never done anything for a little person in his life that does not benefit him. Take a look at his track record of chicanery. Also look at his policies. His tax policy, which he touts as going to help people, in fact is going to help exactly the people who all these tax policies always help, the one percenters, the top tier people. It's not going to create new jobs. It has been debunked by most economists, except a few on his staff, I guess, his payroll. It will shed jobs. We just got an employment report, unemployment slipping to 4.9%. They gained 161,000 jobs last month. So we're on the right track. Not everybody has caught up. Not everybody's happy. I know my own insurance premiums are going up. Not everybody is going to be happy with everything that happens, and things have to be improved. But do you dismantle Obamacare with nothing? Repeal and replace with what? He doesn't know. It'll be huge. It'll be beautiful. He talks about crossing state lines with insurance. It will not happen. It didn't happen in the first place because the insurance companies will not allow it. The insurance companies who held the Congress hostage because they're in the pocket with these lobbies, both sides of the Republicans and Democrats. I covered this when they were putting together this ridiculous bill. It was too long, too complicated. I understand what's at stake here. And I understand why it was so long and why it is so cumbersome and why there are so many problems. Because you have CEOs of these companies making $50,000 a day, and they're still complaining. So that's what we're talking about, unmitigated corporate greed. Something has to be done about it. What? I'm not sure, but it's not Donald Trump's idea of we'll cross state lines, which the insurance companies rejected, and we'll start health savings accounts. Ben Carson talked about that too. Great idea if you start from birth. Not so great if you're 50. What do you do then? Are you going to give everybody $500,000 to put in a health savings account? So a lot to be worked out, and the Republicans had 5 years to do repeal and replace. They never could do it. They don't have a replace part. They want to repeal it, knock people off the rolls, take away people who have struggling with pre-existing conditions and all of that. It's not going to happen. You have to fix it. You have to lower the cost. You have to find a way to do it. But big words and bluster isn't going to cut it. So do your homework before you vote. That's what I ask people to do, and seek your conscience. What kind of a person do you want leading this country? Someone who encourages and engages in cyberbullying, or someone who brings people together? Someone who has helped people foster better lives and protection, or people who have eroded their rights, people who have stomped on housing rights, for example, what Donald Trump and his father did back in the 70s when Hillary Clinton was out helping minority children and families get housing and education. Think about it. We have to decide, and it's closer than we think as far as the polls go. I'm nervous. I'm skittish. Everybody has to vote, even if you live in a safe state, and this protest vote business, if you care, I don't think it's going to work. But I want your views, of course, as usual. Twitter feed AB Rights. Phone line 347-857-4505, and the Facebook page is open. We were talking about it on Facebook yesterday. We'll read some of those responses in just a moment. First, though, only in America can a guy with no moral fiber come this close to the presidency. Here's Jane the Americans. I mean the Darkwee Show.
From anywhere, go to sleep a pauper and wake up a millionaire. A break and maybe grow up to be president. Only in America, land of opportunity, yeah. Would a classy girl like you fall for a poor boy like me? Only in America, can a kid who's washing cars take a giant step and reach right up and touch the stars? In America, would a dream like this come true? Would a guy like me start with nothing and end up with
in my tongue, 'cause I'm Trump.
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 Sitting first class, and next to me, an easy nine. Chanel number 3. I kissed her ear. She moved aside. I upped her skirt and grabbed her thigh. 'Cause I'm drunk.
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 A teenage pageant, and I was the boss. My good friend Debbie said, let's give him a toss. We picked two. You know we shared them. They never talked because I scared them. I'm drunk.
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 I tried to deny it. I said it was lies. But the truth be told, I'm partial to thighs. My bus friend Billy heard my best words of sneeze. Imagine me in the White House, so vote for Hillary, please. I'm Trump.
I'm Trump.
Don't Trump.
Don't Trump.
Don't Trump.
Don't Trump.
Don't Trump.
Don't Trump.
He's so bad. He
Don't Trump.
He's
Don't
a Trump. He reaches the eyes.
Don't Trump.
He's Trump, yeah. That's Nick Glasser and the most gropable song of the season on the Amy Beth Arquie Show. Thanks to Hardy Irregular Leland for sending that parody song our way. And Jane the Americans and Not So Forgotten 45 for Philly and Only in America. Hey, if you've got a song rattling around your head you'd like us to hear and like us to play, by all means, do so via Twitter, AB Writes, hashtag Forgotten45, or send us a missive at the website, amybetharquie.com. And we'll try to get it on for you if we can find it. And if you find one that you think you want us to play, like Leland did, send us your way. Hey, big news breaking in New Jersey. The Bridgegate scandal has found convictions on all counts for both Bridget Ann Kelly and Bill Baroni, top aides to Governor Chris Christie. What does this say about Chris Christie's own future should there be a Trump administration? He is, of course, heading up the so-called transition team should Donald Trump gasp win on election night. We'll see what happens. Poor Chris Christie could find himself under a bridge with his resume in hand and nowhere to go. Or the Chili Peppers on the Amy Beth Arquie Show.
Sometimes I feel like my only friend It goes out into the universe to all these faceless people, and you can pretend that they're hanging on your every word.
Another day, another life, passes by just like mine. It's not complicated. Another mind, another soul, another body to grow old. It's not complicated. Do you ever wonder if the stars shine out for you? Float down like autumn leaves and hush now. Close your eyes before the sleep.
November feel as the autumn leaves fall down upon Ed Sheeran on the Amy Beth Orkowitz Show, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers' Under the Bridge as the top former Chris Christie aides, Bill Baroni and Bridget Ann Kelly, found guilty on all counts in that Bridgegate scandal. Chris Christie implicated in that trial. He, of course, has not been criminally charged yet, but there are some rumors of investigations pending. So what irony, what rich irony it would be for the man who started the Lock Her Up chant against Hillary Clinton at the Republican convention last summer, should he be the one who finds himself behind bars. Intriguing, on the Twitter feed at AB Writes, Amy writes, different Amy, there are three people likely to be indicted soon, and none of them are named Hillary, Chris Christie, Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani. Not so sure about Rudy Giuliani, but certainly Chris Christie and Donald Trump under investigation for a bunch of things. And, yeah, there could be some indictments. I would not be surprised. So when Donald Trump says Hillary Clinton will be mired in investigations should she become president, maybe true. Congress can do what they want. I doubt there'll be any there. But he himself will be under, we already know, having some trials. Yes, civil so far, but who knows? And still civil trials take up a lot of time and effort, too, regarding his Trump University fraud cases. And regarding that sex assault case, no small thing, even if it is civil. But there's also issues about his tax returns. Remember, he has not released them. We don't know what's in there. We know he's avoided to pay taxes. He admitted that pretty much for 20 years. It has come out that the practices he used, though barely legal back then, were ill-advised by his own accountants and lawyers then, and they are certainly illegal now. So think about the character of this man and the maneuvering he's pulled and the excuses he's used and what he's gotten away with all these years and what may, in fact, catch up with him. Just think about that. And people say to me, well, he'll probably be ousted. He'll be impeached. It may be true. First of all, it's not that easy to impeach. But if he is, we have Mike Pence at the ready, who is one of the most right-wing people you can imagine. Yes, he comes off much more sane and sensible than Donald Trump, and his demeanor is calm. His policy is not so much. He wants to overturn Planned Parenthood, completely defund it. He had a bill proposed and I think passed in Indiana that people who had abortions or miscarriages had to have funerals for fetuses. This is ridiculous. He wants to overturn gay marriage. He wants to fund therapies that pray away the gay, the so-called gay conversion. We are talking about a 1950s mentality, dressed up maybe in a nice, calm demeanor, but what he wants to do and where he'll take the Supreme Court, very right-wing. So other people say, well, Hillary will be impeached. Well, if that comes to that, again, very difficult to do and difficult to predict. Should it happen, we have Tim Kaine, who is a moderate to liberal Democrat. I would rather see Tim Kaine than Mike Pence if it comes to that. Just putting that out there for those folks who are concerned about the progressive agenda. If Donald Trump is ousted, you get Mike Pence. It was a more known quantity among the conservative circles. He wasn't Donald Trump's first choice. Donald Trump wanted Chris Christie, who we know is in hot water now, and or Newt Gingrich, both of whom are more bombastic than Pence, but also probably more moderate. So just think about that. Again, you have to do your homework. You have to vote. It's up to all of us, and we have to all do our part. So think about that, because it is the time of the season for voting, and, yeah, falling back this weekend, too.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In the time, give it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands
to take you in this time to
promise land
to show you everyone.
Like me, has he taken any time
to show
you what you need to live?
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you why
I really want to know. It's the time of the season for love.
Thank you. like me? Has he taken?
Has he taken
any time?
Campaigning. and voting. The Rolling Stones on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, and the Zombies, Time of the Season, and Not So Forgotten 45 for Bryn and for Cara. Thanks for chiming in. Zombies, second year in a row nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Will they make the class of 2017? Don't know, but you can vote. Fan ballot's still open till December 5th. There you go. And let's do our Inspiration to Action Challenge success story. Shout out to Florette in Syosset, New York, who writes in, I'm working on stories and poetry, working my inner child with a vengeance. Thank you so much for getting me going with the challenge. It gave me discipline and focus, and I really appreciate it, lady. Well, thank you, Florette. I appreciate your words, and thanks for tagging along. Keep going, and please keep us posted. If the Inspiration to Action Challenge has worked for you, please let me know, because I'd love to give you a shout-out. You deserve it, and I think you help spur other folks on as well. On the other hand, you need some cajoling. Let's start a creativity coaching counseling conversation. First one, always on me. We spend about a half hour chatting. I'll give you the primer on the challenge, some other tips and tricks and things you can do to try to jumpstart your own creative engine, and we'll get you going. Give me a couple of weeks to connect. Do so via Twitter, or you can do it at the website, amybetharkawy, ARKAWY.com. Easy access via the Twitter feed. That's what I meant to say. And while you're there, you can also check out my stories, the Eliza Gordon Mysteries, Killing Time, the Mystery and Mayhem Award-winning Dead Silent, and the new one, Murder, She Tweets, available for ebook and paperback from Cozy Cat Press. Other goodies there, too, and a chance to chime in with your guest suggestions and requests for Forgotten 45s and big stories. All of that one-stop shopping at the website, amybetharkowy.com. Easy as we do it. We can't be remiss in not mentioning the Cubs and their big victory. Miraculous. They won the World Series first time in 108 years. Literally the best thing since sliced bread, because sliced bread was invented after the Cubs won the World Series. Amazing. So goodness, in 7 games, 10 innings that final game, they pulled it out. Miracles can happen. First do come true sometimes. Think about that. And we will think about one of the all-time great Chicago Cubs fans who wrote this song and died way too young himself, the great late Steve Goodman, whose ashes are spread out in Wrigley Field. And the classic, a dying Cubs fan's last request on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show.
By the shores of old Lake Michigan, where the hawk wind blows so cold, an old Cub fan lay dying. In his midnight hour, the toll. Round his bed, his friends had all gathered. They knew his time was short. On his head, they put this bright blue cap from his all-time favorite sport. Told him it's late. It's getting dark in here, and I know it's time to go. But before I leave the lineup, boys, there's just one thing that I'd like to know. Do they still play the blues in Chicago when baseball season rolls around? When the snow melts away, do the Cubbies still play in their ivy-covered burial ground? When I was a boy, they were my pride and joy, but now they only bring fatigue to the home of the brave, the land of the free, and the doormat of the National League. Told his friend, you know the law of averages says anything will happen that can. That's what it says. But the last time the Cubs won a National League pennant was the year we dropped the bomb on Japan. The Cubs made me a criminal, sent me down a wayward path. They stole my youth from me, that's the truth. I'd forsake my teachers to go sit in the bleachers in flagrant truancy. And then one thing led to another, and soon I discovered alcohol, gambling, dope, football, hockey, lacrosse, tennis, but what do you expect when you raise up a young boy's hopes and then just crush them like so many paper beer cups? Year after year after year, after year after year after year after year after year. So those hopes are just so much popcorn for the pigeons beneath the L tracks to eat. He said, you know, I'll never see Wrigley Field anymore before my eternal rest. So if you have your pencils and your scorecards ready, I'll I'll read you my last request. He said, give me a doubleheader funeral in Wrigley Field on some sunny weekend day, no lights. Have the organ play the national anthem. And then a little na-na-na-na, hey, 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 goodbye. Make 6 bullpen pitchers carry my coffin. And 6 groundskeepers clear my path. Have the umpires bark me out at every base in all their holy wrath. It's a beautiful day for a funeral. Hey, Ernie, let's play too. Somebody go get Jack Brickhouse to come back and conduct just one more interview. Have the Cubbies run right out into the middle of the field. Have Keith Moreland drop a routine fly. Give everybody 2 bags of peanuts and a frosty malt, and I'll be ready to die. Build a big fire on home plate out of your Louisville Slugger baseball bats and toss my coffin in. Let my ashes blow in a beautiful snow from the prevailing 30-mile-an-hour southwest wind. When my last remains go flying over the left field wall, we'll bid the bleacher bums adieu. And I will come to my final resting place out on Waveland Avenue. The dying man's friends told him to cut it out. They said, stop it, that's an awful shame. He whispered, don't cry, we'll meet by and by near the Heavenly Hall of Fame. Said, I've got season tickets to watch the Angels now. That's just what I'm gonna do. Said, but you, the living, you're stuck here with the Cubs. So it's me that feels sorry for you. And he said, oh, play that Lonesome Losers tune. That's the one I like the best. Closed his eyes and slipped away. Scotty, it was the dying Cub fan's last request, so here it is. Do they still play the blues in Chicago when baseball season rolls around? When the snow melts away, do the Cubbies still play in their eyes because they bear your ground?
Northside Die Hard stole the show.
The land of Wrigley is in my soul. Come on, Cubbies, let the good times roll. Roll all day long.
Come on, Cubbies, let the good times roll. America's team, so I've been told. Come on, Cubbies, let the good times roll.
Congratulations, Cubs fans worldwide. Stormy weather, land of Wrigley, and the late, great Steve Goodman, his epic dying Cubs fans' last request. Finally, it happened. Miracles can. Think about it, right? Hey, thanks so much for joining us. Special thanks to J.J. McGuigan. Don't forget, you can find out more at jjmcguiganmusic.com. We'll post the link to his site as well as the podcast when it becomes available. All the shows are archived as such. You can follow the Amy Beth Arkwi Show at the Blog Talk Radio site on Stitcher, on Mixcloud, and download episodes of iTunes and NetNow. All roads lead back to the website, amybetharkwi.com. Be on the listen, too, for select editions on the Arts Radio Network and PopNet. I'll be doing the election roundtable there this Tuesday. Whatever you do, wherever you go this weekend, don't forget you can fall back an hour. You have to fall back an hour on Saturday night into Sunday. Do with it what you will. Extra sleep, hand-rigging, voting, campaigning, it's up to you. Thanks to the TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora in the booth, Emil at headquarters for keeping us moving, and thank you so much. Please continue to tweet with us 24/7 at AB Writes. You can friend me on Facebook. You can follow our producer, Trudy Hart, at Radio Trudy. And, of course, drive safe, play nice, dream big. Please vote and come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkwi Show.
Time, why you punish me? Like a wave crashing into the shore, you wash away my dreams. Time, why you walk away? Like a friend with somewhere to go, you left me crying. Can you teach me about tomorrow? Pain and sorrow running free, 'cause tomorrow's just another day, and I don't believe in time. Time.